Welcome to the Pennsauken Gospel Hall podcast. Thanks for joining us for our 2025 season of the Summer Gospel Tent. This year, we were joined by Eugene Higgins from New Jersey and Willens Alcala from Brisbane, Australia, to share the message of the gospel from God's Word.
1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now turn, please, to Hebrews 10 and verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And a final reading, please, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Speaking about God, it says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. As we heard in the opening, the welcome part of the meeting tonight, this is all about the Lord Jesus. And I have read to you about him referred to in three ways. I want you to think about him as the man, and then we read about this man, and then that man. The man Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and men, this man who offered himself up as a sacrifice for sin, and that man that God has appointed to be the judge. It's a wonderful thing to think that there is only one God, and that that one God has appointed one connection between him and you, and that is his Son, the one mediator between God and men. You see, if there were many gods, then I could not assure you that you could be saved tonight. But because there is only one God, and that one God, he doesn't divide his interests. It's not that there's a number of deities and some of them like this kind of person and other gods like this kind of person. And there is one God. And that one God, in the very passage that we read from in 1 Timothy, says that he wants everyone to be saved. So because there is one God, I know that anyone can be saved. There are not competing deities. The one God, he doesn't favor just a few. He wants you to be saved. And in fact, the reason that Christians were persecuted when the Lord Jesus went back to heaven is because they not only insisted that there was just one God, but that there was one God for everybody. Christians were called atheists because they didn't believe in the hundreds of gods that other people believed in. They believed in just one God. That one God wants you to be saved. That one God knows you personally. That one God has seen every moment of your life. That one God wants to speak to you tonight in the tent. And that one God wants to bring you to his Son for salvation. I read about a little boy, his parents heard him praying or trying to get his phrases around the what they call the Lord's Prayer. Then he said, our Father who art in heaven, how do you know my name? Instead of our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father in heaven, how do you know my name? And the question that boy phrased in that way is a remarkable statement, that God knows you personally, individually. There's just so many people that each of us can know. There's just so many friends that we can really have that we can treat as friends because we're limited. But the infinite God of heaven, that one God, knows you personally and has an individual interest in your eternal happiness. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be able to live with him. He wants you to get your sins forgiven. He wants you to have his great salvation. And because there is one God, anyone can be saved. But because there is one mediator, anyone can be saved right now and right here. You see, it doesn't require some input from you. It doesn't demand that you go to some sacred place where you can then meet with God. There is one mediator between God and mankind, and that one mediator is the Lord Jesus. And here tonight in the tent, you could come to know that God through his son, the Lord Jesus, the one mediator. That's why people can be saved anywhere. If you've ever sung Amazing Grace, that was written by a man named John Newton who was saved in a ship at sea. If you've ever sung Rock of Ages, that was written by Augustus Montague Toplady, who was saved in a barn, listening to the gospel in a barn in Ireland. I have a friend who was saved while she was driving in her car. My mother was saved in a gospel meeting, just like this. Many who are here tonight were saved in the quiet of their own home after a gospel meeting. And you could be saved right here in the gospel tent, just as many other people have, because there's one mediator. He's within your reach tonight. You don't have to travel. You don't have to find some sacred spot where God will meet with you. There is one God. There is one mediator. That mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. I need to tell you and happily tell you what that man did for you. Because I read to you in Hebrews chapter 10 that this man offered one sacrifice for sins. One sacrifice that requires no repetition. One sacrifice that is able to meet the need of any sinner. One sacrifice that is able to pay for every sin, so that there is no repetition required. You remember that we read every priest stands every day ministering and offering the same sacrifices, which cannot take away sins. But this man, he offered a sacrifice that nobody else could offer. One sacrifice for sins forever by offering himself. Years ago, there was a famous missionary who boarded a ship called the Dumfries and set sail for China. As the ship was getting ready to pull out of the port, James's mother was standing on the pier, weeping profusely. We're going back to a time when travel was very much limited compared to how it is now. There were no planes. You traveled to and from Asia only by boat. He was going to a land that was filled with dangers. His mother did not know whether she would ever see him again, whether he would ever live, survive, ever come back. And she was crying. She was delighted that her son was going to serve the Lord, but she was crying out of deep sorrow because he was going to be gone. And she knew that he was going to a place of danger. And James Hudson Taylor said this, "I am quite sure that my precious mother learned more about the love of God for the perishing in that 1 hour than all her life before. Her son was leaving. And he knew," and the words he said, "that his mother was thinking of a verse that reads this way, 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Gave him so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Gave him to offer himself on a cross as the payment for sin.' He is seated where no other one could be. He finished that work. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And the way the Bible puts it is that on the one hand, God the Father said to him, 'Enthrone yourself, sit here at my right hand.' And on the other hand, the Bible says, he himself took his place. He sat down. That was his by right. He had finished the work of salvation. Now he was taking his place in heaven as the mediator between God and us. And he sat down at the right hand of God. He secures what none other could ever accomplish. He provides a complete salvation for every person who trusts him. So that no matter who you may be tonight, what you may have done, what is in your past, if you tonight were to trust the Lord Jesus, the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost everyone who comes to God by him. He's the mediator. Come to God by him. You don't reach God through seances. You don't reach God through fortune tellers. You don't reach God through supposed prophets. You reach God through Christ. And the way that you can get to know God is through the Son of God who came into the world on your behalf. If I have told you something that has to do with the present, that the Lord Jesus is now the mediator seated at the right hand of God, and if we've considered something from the past, that at Calvary he offered himself up, then I just want to close by telling you about the future. Because I read to you that God has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world, and he's going to do it by that man. That man. And he's given that assurance to everybody because he raised that man from the dead. You see, there are people who died and were brought back to life. People like Lazarus, the friend of Jesus. But they had to die again. There are people like Enoch that mysteriously never had to die, taken straight to heaven, translated to heaven. But there's only one person who died, went through death, defeated it, and came out the other side, never to die again. Just one person. Raised himself from the dead in a glorified body. And God has, by that unforgettable event, given assurance unto everybody that he will judge sin, that he's going to remove every wrong from this world, all injustice and crime and all of the problems that have plagued the human family because of sin. They're going to be swept away all by that man that God has ordained. 331 years ago, last month of May, a man named John Mason claimed that he was a special prophet from God and that he was going to rise the third day after he died. Now, I told you that was 331 years ago. So we're back in the 1600s, and John Mason said that when he died, 3 days later, he was going to rise from the dead. We're still waiting. He didn't rise. 3 days after the Lord Jesus died, he raised himself from the dead. More than 500 people at different times and different places saw him, spoke to him, heard his words, ate with him. The proof that he died was that he was buried. The proof that he rose again was that he was seen. And there is a living Savior in heaven, and the day is coming. It is an unforeseeable date. Only God knows. But there's a date when every one of us is going to rise from our graves. And the person who's going to call us out of our graves is that man, the Lord Jesus. He is the one who said, "The hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall come forth." Some will be coming out to a resurrection of life. Some will be coming out, he said, to a resurrection of judgment. What about your future? Is your future marked by eternal life in heaven forever because Christ is your Savior? Or is your future marked by judgment for sin because you've never trusted Christ? Because that day is coming. And I would suggest to you that to miss the salvation that God has provided at infinite cost to himself would be an unforgivable neglect. Have you ever thought of it this way? That when it comes to the death of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, to the work that he accomplished there, all of heaven is vitally interested in what took place at Calvary. All of hell is terrified by the implications of what took place at Calvary. It's just here on earth that human beings make the mistake of neglecting, of treating lightly, of hardly realizing the importance of what took place on that April day when the mighty Maker died to save you from your sins. He's the man who offered himself. He's the man who is the one mediator between God and us. He's the man who is one day going to judge the world in righteousness. He's the man you need if you're ever going to be in heaven. And as my dear brother preaches the gospel, I hope that you, this very first night of the tent meetings, that you will realize, I need that man. I need Christ. I need the Savior. And that you will trust him tonight for salvation.
Just before we read in the Bible, I just want to say briefly that it is a great encouragement when any one of us travel to other countries to preach the gospel, to know that we are preaching the same gospel. The gospel, the message of salvation, is for everybody. It doesn't matter where we are from, how old we are, whatever our condition might be, we all need a Savior. And that Savior is only the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one else that can save us. So the gospel that I have had the privilege of preaching in South America, even in Australia, Papua New Guinea, whatever I might be before, is the same gospel that we are going to preach here during the following days. However, something that we need to mention as well at the beginning of the meetings is, although we have planned to be here for 4 weeks, we have no guarantee whatsoever that we are going to be here for 4 weeks. Why? Because the Lord might come before the end of these meetings. In other words, that will be the end of these meetings if the Lord comes. But also because any one of us, including the preachers, might have to face the last day of the life at any moment by going into eternity. So if that will happen to us and the Lord hasn't come and you are someone else, we'll keep preaching. But what about you, my friend, if you are not saved? That's why we would like to encourage you not only to keep coming, but to be saved. A brother in Venezuela used to say, come tomorrow to the meeting, but be saved today. So that is so vital that you understand that. So we are going to read in the gospel according to Luke chapter 1, and we are going to read from verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day of spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. We're going to leave the reading here, and we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Now, the words that we are reading here were from a man that was, at that moment, celebrating the birth of the first child, and more likely, the only child. That man was very old. He wasn't a young man. His wife was also very old. And by a miracle of the Lord, they had a baby. You know the name of that man? Zechariah. Do you know the name of the baby? John. Later, he was called John the Baptist. So that is the child that this man is talking here about. You have heard of John the Baptist, I'm sure. But listen what this man, Zechariah, the father of that baby, was saying about him. Why this baby was so important. Verse number 76, where we started our reading, say, you, child, you are going to be called the prophet of the highest. You are going to prepare the ways of the Lord. This man has the important job of going into the nation of Israel to tell them that the Lord Jesus Christ has been born to be the Savior of the world. So John the Baptist was the man that went and to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the man that said words that I'm sure that many of you know very well by heart. Behold the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. So how do we know then that the message that this man was given came from God? We know that because in the following verses, we have a description of what the Lord Jesus was to bring to the world, and consequently, what John the Baptist was meant to prepare to tell people in regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Please notice in verse number 77 that it says there, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Please stop here. I know that it's very hard sometimes to concentrate. You're listening to a different accent. It's a new person that is in front of you. But please try to keep this in mind. The message is to give knowledge of salvation, that people might know that they are saved, that they have salvation. Now, if I ask you this question, are you saved? Many here will say, yes, I am. But many of you might be thinking at this very moment, salvation? From what? Saved? From what? When people are talking about salvation, it's because there is a danger. There is something real. There is something that can bring you a trouble. And then you need to escape from there. Now, the country where I live, Australia, normally January is very hot. I know that for you, January is very cold, as no. I know it's difficult to try to think that in other places it's different, but January is summer for us. So Christmas time is hot. It's not snow, it's not cold. And there are two things that happen in Australia during summertime: bushfires and floods. It rains a lot, big storms, and places can be flooded suddenly. And places that have never suffered from any floods can have a flood just like this. But also, when the floods, you know, have been around for a while and all the rain, all the grass, all the vegetation grows so much that then when it's so hot again, then bushfires. Every year around January, February, all the news are about people being rescued from the floods and from the bushfires. People that lived in remote areas of Australia. And some people might be thinking, are there kangaroos there? Oh, yes, many. Actually, there are more kangaroos in Australia than people. I don't know if you knew that. But people being rescued from the bushfire. The fire is coming closer to the property. The government tells them, you need to go. You need to escape. And always, every year, there is the case of people that refuse to leave the property. And they say, I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to have any problem. I can stay here. I know that my place is safe. And sadly, every year, we hear about people that they died because they refused to be safe. They didn't want to escape. They didn't want to hear what the instruction from the government came to tell them about that. Even people that received different means to help them to escape. I remember 2011, big, big flood, even came close to our home in Strauss Pine. And there were places where the water came up to the roof. And there were families, children, on the top of the roof of the properties, of the houses, and the helicopters going around, trying to get them. And still, in that condition, people refusing to take advantage of the opportunity of being saved. The same happened, not only with the floods and the bushfires, but in many other situations. So here, when Zechariah speaks about the message that John the Baptist was preparing the Lord Jesus for to preach, he says, to give knowledge of salvation. I would like to read this in a personal way. Are you saved? Do you have salvation? You might say, well, here in New Jersey, we don't have floods. Here we don't have bushfires. So what are you talking about? Saved from what? My friend, from something much more urgent than floods and bushfires. To be saved from your sins. Because the Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the children. Later, I expect that I will have an opportunity to tell you how I was saved. But I will tell you just right now that I was saved when I was 8 years old. I don't know if any of the children here is already 8 years old. But I was saved back then when I was eight, back in Venezuela, in a city called Maracay. But saved from your sins. We need to set this very clear at the very beginning of the gospel meeting and every time that we preach. We preach salvation because we are lost without Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not the best option to be saved. He's the only one. There is no salvation in him. If you have heard the gospel many times, or even if you're listening to this message for the first time, we want you to know we are not giving you an option. We are giving you the only way to be saved, because there is no other that can give you salvation. The knowledge of salvation. I am so glad. I cannot tell you how joyful I feel every time that I think that my salvation doesn't depend on anything that I can do. That all the glory is unto the Lord. And that whatever it might happen in my life, I know that I am saved. I know that I have the knowledge of salvation through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why here, when Zechariah was talking, he immediately mentioned the remission of their sins. Sorry for mentioning this so many times. Actually, I don't need to apologize for that, because that's the gospel. Once again, our sins. One friend, I say that he's a friend because he is back in Australia. He had been coming to gospel meeting for many years, since 2008, almost 17 years listening to the gospel message. He brings his wife. Sometimes he brings other friends who are not saved to the meetings to hear the gospel. Actually, he invited someone that later the husband came into assembly fellowship. But this man has heard the gospel many times and is not saved yet. I asked him once, why are you not saved yet? And he said, it is so hard for me when you say that we are sinners. I know that I'm a sinner, but I don't like being reminded every time that I am a sinner. And friend, we say this lovingly, respectfully, but sincerely. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace and nothing else. If you are a sinner who is not saved yet, you can be saved today. The remissions, the freedom, the forgiveness of the sins is only possible through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is something else that he mentioned in this passage. In verse number 70a, it says, the tender mercy of our God. What a beautiful expression. Not only the mercy of God, the tender mercy of God. What is mercy? We can try to explain that word in many different ways. Maybe even the children can tell me what mercy is, but we can put it in this way. Mercy is connected to compassion. Someone who is in trouble, and you show mercy to that person. Mercy is also connected to someone who is guilty of something, and then is asking to the person in authority to have mercy on him. And then that person doesn't receive the punishment that he deserves. If you try to connect these ideas together, having compassion of someone who is guilty, who deserve to be punished because has done something wrong, we can understand what is the mercy of God. We are sinners. That's right. Once again, we are sinners. And our sins make us to be away from the presence of God. And because we are away from the presence of God now, if we die in our sins, we will be lost for all eternity. It's not that God doesn't love us. It's not that God wants to send people to hell. It's that we are already on our way to an eternal separation from God because of what we are and what we have done. We are sinners. But God is moved in mercy. He looked at me and he looked at you, even the children here. And he said, I don't want you to be lost. I don't like when people say, God is not a good God because he sent people to hell. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And he is so desperate to prove you that he loves you, that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your savior. The tender mercy of God. So my friend, take away from your mind any idea that God doesn't love you. Please set any thought that might come to your mind to tell you that God is not fair, that he is unjust. God loves you. He sees us. And he sees people that cannot be saved in any other way. He tried to see that we are trying to do something good, but he knows that never will be good enough for him to be saved. You know that verse that I mentioned before? We all have sinned. You know the rest of the verse? In the version of the Bible that we use, it says, and we come short of the glory of God. Come short of the glory of God? Someone explained that the word sin means to miss the mark. Miss the mark. A brother mentioned that I visit a country called Papua New Guinea. That country is different to any other country that you might have heard of for many reasons. Maybe if I have an opportunity to speak about that one day, I may. But in that country, I just want to say one thing about them. They don't have many sports, many things to, you know, for entertainment. 90%+ of the population live up in the mountains, in the jungle, no electricity, no internet, nothing to entertain them as you are used to. But there is one game that, strangely, is the most popular game over there. Playing darts. You know the board with the circles around and people throwing darts into there? That is the most popular sport over there. I don't know why. Someone brought it that make a good business. And then you see people receiving four darts and the dart up there and people trying to hit the bullseye, the circle in the middle, and you see them fighting among themselves when they are not able to hit the target in the middle. I need another go. I need another go. They have to pay money to do it. I need another go. And they start fighting because they want another go. So look, there are more people waiting. And when they fight, they fight. I will tell you. Butch knives, spears, whatever they can use. I want another opportunity. I will hit the target the next time. I will get what I want to. My friend, that is what the Bible means, that we all come short of the glory of God. Every attempt that we do to hit the target, the bullseye, every attempt that we do to try to please God with my life, my actions, whatever I try, we just miss the target. And God says, we all have sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. So God sees that we are trying to do something to achieve salvation. And sadly, God knows that most people are not doing anything because they cannot care about salvation at all. But he is moved with tender mercy. And he did it by doing something wonderful, amazing, that we can never exhaust speaking about what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. All the love that your salvation plan, all the grace that brought him down to man, that the day of spring has visited us from high, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that brother has said rightly, the only mediator between God and man, one day left his place in heaven to be born as a baby without any controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Think of this again. God was manifested in the flesh. The Son of God, who loved me, became a man to experience real manhood. We were talking about that this morning in one of the messages here in Pennsauken. A real man in every aspect of the world. Why? Because of his tender mercy. Because he loved you. He received what by sin deserved from him. He is the mediator between God and man. He presented himself between heaven and earth when he was lifted up on the cross. And on the cross, he sealed my pardon. He paid the debt and made me free. When my brother was talking about the mediator, I was thinking about something that happened in my family. Before, long before I was born, my grandmother, who was born in Colombia, had, if I remember correctly, 14 children, something like that. The youngest of all was a very spoiled child. And he was a troublemaker in the family. Into every kind of sin that you might imagine, my uncle went into from a very young age. One day, before my grandmother was saved, she knew about something terrible that he did. They never told me. I didn't want to know anyway. And then my grandfather, that I never met, he died before I was born, was so upset with him that he took something, I don't even remember exactly what was it, but not a belt, something more, I don't remember, to hit him very hard. And my grandmother knew that when my grandfather was angry, he couldn't control himself. And when he took that thing, whatever it was, to try to hit my uncle when he was that young child, my grandmother knew immediately that he could even kill him. He was a very violent man. And when he came and he approached him to, you know, to hit him as hard as he could and to, you know, pour his wrath on him, my grandmother came and embraced my uncle and put her back towards my grandfather. And my grandfather just hit the back of my grandmother again and again until he realized what he was doing and he stopped. My uncle said to him later, "Are you going to still, you want to punish me? Are you going to punish me anyway?" He said, "No. Your mom already received what you deserved. You are free." Unfortunately, my uncle never took advantage of that opportunity to change his life, not even without being saved. And until this day, he's a very old man now, but he's not saved yet. Look at what my grandmother did. She stood between my grandfather and my uncle. She received the wrath of my grandfather that was from my uncle. And then he was spared because he took refuge in her arms. He didn't run away. He didn't say, "No, mom, don't worry, I will be fine." No. He went to her arms and he found refuge. My friend, that is only a mother. It is something that only a mother could do for a child. And there are mothers here, you know that very well. And children, you know that your mother loves you as well so much. I want to tell you, that tender mercy was displayed there on the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ received the penalty, the treatment that my sin deserved, because God was moved with tender mercy that we can be saved. But that doesn't have any effect on you if you don't go unto him for salvation. But then, look at in verse 79 for a moment. It says here, "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Speak about light and darkness. He's saying, well, you know, people are in darkness. Yes. Even in a country so modern and so great and advanced like this country, great country where we are, if you are not saved, you are in a spiritual darkness. You might have a lot of knowledge about other sins. Maybe you have a degree, you have education, or maybe you don't, whatever. But my dear friends, I need to tell you, if you don't have Christ, you are in darkness, a spiritual darkness. You cannot see the light. In fact, you don't want to see the light because those who are in darkness, they refuse to go to the light so that they are not going to be saved. There is someone who wants to keep in darkness. If you are listening to the gospel at this moment and you are considering the things that my brother and I are trying to tell you, There is someone who will do whatever to stop you to paying attention. Maybe thinking right now, saying like, well, don't worry, the meeting will be finished in a few minutes, hopefully. This man is not going to talk too much. And then we go home and do whatever, and we are not going to pay attention to the gospel anymore. Or maybe someone that we say, well, that was kind of interesting, I know, but that's not for me. I want to keep going as I am. Whatever your attitude might be here, remember, there is someone who wants to keep you in darkness. He doesn't want you to come to the light. But what a wonderful thing is when someone is saved. What a wonderful moment was in my life when I knew that I had passed from death to life, from darkness into the light, because the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. There is no one else that can give you light. There is no one else that can bring you that wonderful assurance of knowing that the shadows are gone, that the darkness are over, and that now you can enjoy in the presence of the Lord, who is the light of the world. But there is one word that is mentioned here at the end of verse 79, peace. We talked a little bit about that this morning in one of the messages. Peace. Do you have peace? You might say, well, yes, I do. I feel fine. I don't have any problem. Someone invited me to be here, and I just, well, I'm here, right? So I'm interested in something related to God and so on. But the question is, do you have peace? It is well with your soul. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? You might be thinking maybe at this moment, well, I don't want to think about that anymore. I don't believe that I'm a sinner. My friend, don't worry. I'm going to finish very soon. You will be free to go to your place and keep going with whatever you want to do. But we want to tell you, you don't have peace, because peace is only possible in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Peace is to know that it is well with your soul. It's to have the assurance of salvation. It's to know that your sins have been forgiven through the one who died on the cross, the one who was raised from the dead, the one who lives and loves you and today wants to give you salvation. That is peace. Even in the midst of problems, troubles, whatever might happen in our lives, because we all have problems. Anyone who is truly saved knows very well that whatever it might happen in right now is only for a little while, because every day is bringing us closer to the moment when we are going to be with Him. And my friend, we would like you to know that peace as well, that you might have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So think about the words of this man, an old man that had a baby. And he was so joyful at that moment that he spoke these wonderful words about the message that the Lord Jesus Christ will bring, the one that he was to prepare the way of the Lord, his son, John the Baptist. Might the Lord help you to come to know him as your Savior. Shall we pray?